You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday, real Tuesday, because this is really me. I'm really sitting in the studio today. That's many apologies to all of you out there as I got ensnared by a legal issue on behalf of a client and had to spend some time with them throughout the afternoon. And so Boomer was able to jump in there and use a pre-recorded show. But thank you for your patience. This is a live show, and Boomer is on the board. Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Good deal. Appreciate you pushing all the right buttons yesterday.
Oh, we made it work.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Just had to make a little change to our lineup. So if you were looking at it on Twitter earlier and seeing what the lineup was for today, we've moved. U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be calling in at 4 p.m. They've got a thing going on with her family right now that they're working out. And so we wish them well, and we will have her on at 4 p.m. today. And then I've got a triple dipper filled with stuff, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, out the gate, we're going to start off with home fries. Home fries, that's where we are. All the things that are happening around here, there's some big doings. I mean, there's some news that came out, legal action, mayoral races, things that are happening around our state right now, and a brand spanking new one that kind of bleeds over into another dipper that just came out on Fox News right as the show was about to start. I'll tell you all about it. Number one on the triple dipper, I'm going to do home fries. So there's that. Number two, in conjunction with our discussion with Senator Britt, I'm calling it mixed money signals. Mixed money signals. I mean, to right now, if you're not aware, last week, President Biden requested another supplemental appropriation, meaning it's beyond the scope of any prior budgetary requirements, for $40 billion. Over half of it goes to Ukraine. And then like $4 billion, four of the 40, 10%, goes to our U.S. southern border. I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, at some point, sir, you've got to realize the optics of what you're doing are just awful. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. Mixed money signals, that's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I'm calling it the climate cult. This is the one that kind of bleeds over. There's a story that I'll tell you about in a minute that just happened with regards to oil and gas drilling rights in our area right off the Gulf of Mexico. But it's not just that. I mean, like the fires in Maui, the wildfires in Canada, everywhere you look, you see the climate cult has become so burdensome in its ability to, you know, regulate and strangle the U.S. energy sector that it's affecting all of our lives, even to the point of things burning up. So we'll talk about that. What's going on with regulatory action that is creating a climate cult that could cares nothing about the average citizen? There's that. That's a full show. We got a lot of stuff laid on, so stay tuned for all of it. So let me just jump over here to my comments now. And I'll remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over North Alabama. I mean, they're running, they got five locations around the Birmingham area. They got them in Gadsden, Atala, Anniston. Southern Immediate Care, 7 days a week. Care that you can walk in the door. You can get pediatric up to geriatric. And folks, this is where I go personally. And we're proud to have them as the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So, there's an old Saturday Night Live skit, and I'm sure some of y'all remember it. Billy Crystal. He played a guy named Fernando Lamas, a smarmy kind of name dropper wearing fancy suits and big hair and an overplayed accent. And he would sit in the corner booth of Fernando's Hideaway with photos of stars on the wall behind him and interview celebrities about nothing in particular. And at least 50 times per interview, he would tell his guest, "You look marvelous," And he would usually end the skit by telling the audience to remember, there's a looking good and there's a feeling good, and it's a better to look good than to feel good, and you're looking marvelous. I can hardly do it. It's one of those taglines, though, that made its way into pop culture. People would joke about it, use it in joking conversation. It was a classic from back in the days when Saturday Night Live was actually funny. It was a spoof on the shallowness of society and how everything was fake or just for looks only. But let me ask you this. Is there a time when appearances really do mean something? Is there a time when it's not shallow, it's actually important to make a visual impression? I would say that for leaders, there have to be moments when it's not about how they feel or what they want, but about what they can do for those that lead, and in denying themselves as a leader for the betterment of others or to lead effectively, there may come a time when a leader actually has to make a strong visual impression. General George Patton, he was a flamboyant man. He was spit-shined. He wore a pair of ivory-handled revolvers. His helmet was always as shiny as the stars on his shoulder, but there was something more to him. I mean, Patton actually fired those ivory-handled pistols in a deadly Mexican border shootout with Pancho Villa's troops. He carved two notches in the grips for the kills. He earned a Purple Heart in World War I. In World War II, Patton was known to have his staff car fitted with a siren, and he would blare it as he came out to the front lines, just so his troops, and the enemy for that matter, would know that he was near. It was his way of signifying to his men that he was not afraid to be where they were. But the siren never blew as he left the lines. He did not want the sound of his leaving to be in their minds. He only wanted the sound of their arriving. In that case, Patton knew that appearances were actually important. I remember back in the fall of 2003, the war in Iraq was still in its early stages. Saddam had been overthrown, but the war was definitely hot. But the troops at the dining facility at Baghdad International Airport, they were shocked and excited when President Bush showed up to serve the Thanksgiving dinner personally. You see, he knew it was important to be seen. He also had the sense that it was important when not to be seen, because in that same year, Bush decided he was going to stop playing golf. He said he didn't feel like it was good form for the commander-in-chief to be seen playing golf while he was sending troops into harm's way. And so out of solidarity for them and their families, he stopped doing something that he loved to do. And he knew that in some cases, with leadership comes responsibility, and with responsibility comes a need to make a visual impression along with everything else. Now, contrast these mindsets, these behaviors that I just described, with the imagery of our current president. I mean, think back to the Afghanistan debacle. How long did it take before President Biden finally acknowledged the deaths of the 13 service members at the Abbey Gate in Kabul? And what did it look like to the Gold Star families when Biden looked at his watch between flag-draped coffins coming off the planes? Biden has now taken over 370 days of vacation, actual vacation, since he took office just 2.5 years ago. That's a third of his time in office taking very visual trips to the beach, calling a lid on his day early, sunning himself on the sands. This week, while refusing to comment on the devastation in Hawaii, he finally announced he'd be traveling to Hawaii, but only after stopping en route at a billionaire's retreat at Lake Tahoe for several more days of vacation, for the second time in just 2 weeks. The folks in Hawaii are devastated. They've lost everything. They are hurting. And they hear the president's finally coming. And then they hear, well, no, he's vacationing first, because they're second place. You see, a leader, a good leader, recognizes when it's time to make a visual statement that others come first. I was taught as a young officer, the troops always go to the front of the chow line, and as an officer, I eat last. It's part of the leadership. It's selfless service. It's self-sacrifice. The boss only gets paid when the employees have been paid. The combat leader never sends troops to a place he would not go himself. And presidents, good presidents, don't make a very public spectacle of stopping for a freaking vacation on taxpayer time while en route to see the pain and suffering of others. One of my favorite books is called Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield. It's one of the few books that I have deliberately read several times. It's mandatory reading in many military units, and despite being a historical novel, it's actually taught at West Point, the Naval Academy, and at Marine Corps Basic School. It's a story of the 300 Spartans who stood in the face of the mighty Persian army. It's a story of grit and heroism and courage, but it's also a story of leadership. Now, I've copied down several great quotes from it, but there's one long quote that I want to leave you with. It's the author's vantage point of Deinikes, one of the Spartans' most epic combat leaders. The author watched Deinikes from afar and marveled at the way that he took time and put himself last and his men first, but what it did for them to have a leader like that. The quote is long, but here it is. You ready? He says, quote, "This I realize now, watching Dynekes rally and tend to his men was the role of the officer, to prevent those under his command at all stages of the battle, before, during, and after, from becoming possessed, to fire their valor when it flagged and rein in their fury when it threatened to take them out of hand. That was Dynekes' job. That was why he wore the transverse crested helmet of an officer. His was not, I could see now, the heroism of an Achilles. He was not a Superman. He was just a man doing a job. A job whose primary attribute was self-restraint and self-composure, not for his own sake, but for those whom he led by his example. A job whose objective could be boiled down to the single understatement, as he died at the hot gates on the morning, of performing the commonplace under uncommonplace conditions." So yeah, sometimes there's feeling good. I mean, aren't vacations and rest and taking time for things you want to do important? Feeling good, right? Just like a Biden vacation on the way to a disaster. So yes, there's feeling good, but there's also looking good. And leaders need to remember that visual impressions matter. Sometimes you gotta look good. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yes, I do believe that probably one of the most heartless things that I have seen, and this is what inspired this story, was the very idea that after 2 weeks of a tragedy that burned out the lives of thousands of people, 100 are dead, 1,000 are missing, Biden is finally going out to Hawaii to grieve with them, allegedly, but he stops off and spends several days at Lake Tahoe vacationing on the way there. That, to me, is one of the most heartless things. It's clearly an indication he does not understand leadership. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. A bunch of y'all have already grabbed hold of that. It's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in, call it in. And speaking of which, on line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing well and everything. I like the part about how you present yourself or how you look versus how you feel and on based on your monologue. And I have to ask this question, and I'll hang up and listen all out. How you present yourself versus how you feel can apply to your character as well. And I sit there to this day, and I wonder how Harry S. Truman felt versus what he had to show when little boy and fat man landed on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There was a show to make to the world, and I'm sure he puzzled over that the rest of his life.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I look at that and I think he was in the middle of a decision that could save millions or kill millions, Then the question became then which ones get to live, mine or theirs? And that was a horrible decision to have to make, and still to this day is the only record of nuclear power being used, in combat. But
and one reason I would never want to be president.
No doubt. Have you ever noticed, by the way, too, speaking of appearances, how almost every president who comes out of office, their hair goes gray while they're there, if there's not already?
especially President Obama.
Oh, yeah.
He
had some snow on the roof time he was done. And I think that's because they know things, have to make decisions about things that we will never know. But I look at this thing. I mean, you caught that part too, Brian, I guess, about, and I know you were in the military. You know what it's like for the leader, whether it be the senior enlisted or the officers, to step aside in the chow line and the troops go first. That's the way I was raised. I'm sure you were too.
Indeed. But, and it's very often the same way at church socials and everything, potluck dinners. The pastor normally waits, sits back, waits for everything to go by before he gets anything if he does.
Well, and well, they should. But I look at it, too, and I think I just saw the most heartless thing I'd ever seen in public office the other day with Biden stopping off for a few days in Lake Tahoe to rest himself in vacation and luxury on his way to see people who were reeling from a disaster.
I'm sorry, but I almost excuse him because of his faculties.
Well,
they're not there.
Well, maybe they had to stop off for a treatment. Who knows? Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, man. Sure. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. I probably kept him on longer than he meant to. I'm looking over here at the text lines. What else we got here? Jerry from Decatur, amen on the monologue. Biden's presidency has been only to self-serve and enrich himself. I believe they're the main reasons the election was stolen. It was his last chance. Every time the money changes hands, what's in it for me? It does seem that way. John from Huntsville, awesome monologue and welcome back. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Joe Biden was also heartless when he said he understood how the peoples of Hawaii were feeling because he also once lost his home and cat to a fire, which is, by the way, a very dubious story. I mean, the idea that he's going to say, a kitchen fire almost took my Corvette, which we know it didn't take because it's still there. You know, Biden has this insatiable need to identify with his audience at all times. It's okay if you haven't been in their position. You can still empathize. You don't have to be someone who, I made up an experience to tell you that I understand what you feel like, even though I don't. Don't do that. That's so. In today's day and age, you can't hide that kind of lie. Well, my house burned down. Well, quick searching back through the records indicates it never did. Well, my son came back in a flag-draped coffin. Well, actually, no, he didn't. It's on and on. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Tracy from Athens, as always, amazing. Oh, thank you. Calls me the head honcho ruffian. Biden is a narcissist and a sociopath. Quoting Bongino, he has no leadership abilities. I agree. And here's the phrase that I coined back when the show first started 2 years ago. What we're seeing right now is living proof. Think about it. Biden spent 40 years in public service, 40 years of enjoying what I call rhetoric without responsibility. He could go to the microphone and yell about anything he wanted to, say whatever he felt like, and then walk away from it and not have to own it. He didn't lead anybody. He's never written a paycheck, run a business, or done anything like that. All he's done is get paid on the public dime, and somehow he's a millionaire. So, yeah, I look at the whole thing, and I think it's just wrong. Barry from Fultondale says, Phil, this is Barry. Hey, Barry. And I have heard that Biden is getting ready to take us off the paper money and switch to digital dollars. And he goes on to talk about that because it's a long text. We're out of time, but I'll just tell you. I hear those rumors all the time. Barry, I don't know what's what, but I do believe that there would be an amazingly difficult time with going all digital. So do I think they would try to do it? Yeah. Do I think that some of the world elites want to do it? Yeah, because then they could turn it off. I don't think they can get away with it because there is still a paper money society out there that relies on it. All right, plenty more where that came from. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back with some home fries and more text messages. Be right back.